A Contra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Contra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive.
Today we are immersing ourselves in, a truly foundational book for modern American writing, The Elements of Style by William Strunk Jr. and E.B. White. It's this legendary little book, barely 100 pages, but honestly, it's just packed with rules that define clarity.
It really is. You could almost call it the constitution of clear writing. For, gosh, decades, if you were serious about writing journalism, business, literature, anything, you basically had to know this book inside out.
Right.
But the question now, I think, is, in our world of tweets and instant messaging, you know, super informal digital stuff, Do these rules, some over a century old, still hold up? Are they still the best way to actually get heard? Exactly. That's really our mission today. We want to look beyond just, you know, the comma rules and try to find the philosophical heart of this book. What are the core actionable principles that help you, the listener, cut through all the noise, whether you're writing a big report or, heck, just trying to get an email opened?
Yeah, if you boil it all down, it's really a guide to efficiency in communication. It's about respecting the person reading your words.
Okay, so let's maybe pause on admiring the book for just a second and talk about the authors, because their collaboration is pretty unique, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's start with the original guy, William Strunk Jr.
Strunk was the academic anchor here, an English professor at Cornell, very meticulous about grammar. He felt his students really needed a systematic, rule-based way to approach writing. Yeah. So he put together the first version of this handbook way back in 1918, essentially just for his own class.
So he laid down the blueprint, right? The academic structure, the rules. He saw rules not as something that restricts creativity, but more like the basic physics of good writing. You need to know how the engine works before you can build something powerful.
Precisely. And then years later, one of his old students, E.B. White, picked it up. And White, of course, became the celebrated writer, the New Yorker Charlotte's Web, a household name.
Right. So White brings that professional writer's voice. He wasn't just repeating rules. He was someone who actually used these principles successfully day in, day out in the real world of publishing. He kind of translated Strunk's academic rules into practical advice everyone could use.
And what's so interesting is how perfectly those two roles fit together. You've got Strunk with the systematic theory, the what and how. Then White comes in with the practical experience, the why it matters, how it helps you find your own style. It's this rare mix of, you know, the professor and the professional writer makes them kind of uniquely qualified guides.
Okay, so moving into the book itself. When you first open this thing up, what's the fundamental idea they really want us to grasp about writing?
The core insight is surprisingly simple, really. It's that simplicity and directness are the signs of mature, confident writing. They really push back against this notion that impressive writing has to be complex or, you know, full of big words.
Yeah.
The main idea is that effective writing is a practical skill, something you learn through discipline, not some kind of magic gift only a few people have.
That's actually really empowering, isn't it? It basically tells you, the listener, hey, you can master this. So how do they structure this path to mastery in the book?
They take you on a pretty logical journey, actually, moving from the tiny details up to the bigger picture. So first, you get the elementary rules of usage, grammar, punctuation, the real basic building blocks. Get those right first.
Okay. The foundation.
Exactly. Then you move up to the bigger principles of composition, how to structure things, organize your thoughts.
Right. And only after you've got that solid base, then they talk about the more subjective stuff like style and voice.
That's right. Because, I mean, you can't really develop a unique voice if your writing is just sloppy with basic errors or poorly put together. They understood that mastering the fundamentals comes first. That frees you up for self-expression.
Okay, let's dig into some specifics then. The elementary rules of usage. This first part is really about building competence, right? Showing your reader you know what you're doing.
Yeah, it signals you're serious and careful. And while a lot of it might seem like common sense, they really focus on the areas where writers, even today, tend to get a bit, well, sloppy. Like the possessive singular.
Ah, yes.
Strunk is very clear. Use an apostrophes as, even if the name already ends in as. So it's Charles's friend, not Charles's friend. It's about being consistent, which helps clarity.
And then there's the big one, the one people still argue about, the serial comma or the Oxford comma.
Huh, yes. Strunk gives zero wiggle room here. Use a comma after every item in a list, A, B, and C. Why? To avoid any possible confusion or ambiguity.
Right.
It might seem like a tiny little mark, but it can completely change what a sentence means. And for them, the writer's job is to prevent confusion, Full stop.
Okay, so that's the foundation. Now we get to the elementary principles of composition. You said this is where it shifts from just being correct to being powerful.
Absolutely. This is the engine of the book, really, moving from correctness to effectiveness. And the first big cornerstone principle is use the active voice.
Okay, why so much emphasis on that?
Because active voice, where the subject does the action, just makes sentences more direct, more vigorous, more forceful. It helps you avoid that kind of wishy-washy, passive language you hear all the time, especially in, like, corporate speak.
Yeah, I definitely see the point about accountability. Avoiding things like mistakes were made instead of saying I made a mistake. But hang on, aren't there times, maybe in scientific writing or legal stuff, where active voice might sound a bit too informal? Or maybe it shifts the focus wrongly?
That's a fair question. And they do acknowledge exceptions exist, especially if you intentionally want to emphasize the action itself or the thing being acted upon rather than who did it. But their main point stands, default to active voice.
Ah, okay. Default.
Yeah. When in doubt, go for the strong, direct option. If you choose passive, make sure you have a really good strategic reason for it.
Got it. Okay. But if there's one single phrase, one mantra from this whole book that sums up their philosophy, it's got to be the next one. Omit needless words.
Oh, absolutely. That's the manifesto right there. Vigorous writing is concise. They use that wonderful analogy. A sentence shouldn't have unnecessary words, just like a drawing shouldn't have unnecessary lines. Or a machine useless parts. It almost reframes writing as a kind of engineering.
It really does. It makes you think, if a word isn't actively adding something, it's actually taking away from the sentence's effectiveness.
Exactly. And let's not forget Rule 18, put statements in positive form. They argue positive statements are just stronger, more direct than sentences cluttered with negatives. So say, he usually came late, instead of something weaker like, he was not very often on time.
Okay, let's move on to the section about precision then. The words and expressions commonly misused. This feels like where you really fine-tune things, right? Separate the good from the great.
Precision is absolutely crucial. Think about common mix-ups like effect versus effect. We all stumble on that sometimes. Effect is usually the verb, meaning to influence. Effect is usually the noun, the result.
Right.
Using them wrong is like, I don't know, putting diesel in a petrol car. It just signals you're not paying close attention.
And the classic less versus fewer, I admit I still double-check that sometimes. Fewer for things you can count fewer items in the cart. Less for amounts you can't count less traffic. I find myself checking the signs at the grocery checkout lanes.
Huh. See? These little things matter. They add up to create an overall sense of authority and care in your writing.
And all these details, these rules, they kind of lead into White's final chapter, don't they? The one called An Approach to Style. After laying down all this groundwork, what does he say style is?
Yeah, after all the rules, White basically reassures us. Style isn't about putting on airs, using fancy words, or trying to sound, you know, writerly.
So what is it then?
He argues that real style grows naturally out of applying these good principles consistently. And, very importantly, it comes from sincerity. Writing to express what you genuinely think and feel, not just to impress someone.
Okay, so style is authenticity, basically.
Exactly. For White, it's an organic outcome. It's what happens when you focus on having something clear and worthwhile to say, and you say it as directly and honestly as you can using these principles.
Okay, let's zoom out a bit then. If we were to summarize the big overarching philosophies they're trying to teach us, what would they be?
Well, first and foremost, I'd say, clarity is paramount. This book is like a radical defense of the reader. It argues your brilliant idea is basically useless if the reader has to fight to understand it.
Right. Serve the reader above all else. Okay, what's another one?
Second, conciseness enhances impact. That focus on cutting out the fluff, the economy of language. That's so relevant today, isn't it?
Totally.
Get rid of the extra words, and the ones left just hit harder. They're sharper, more persuasive.
Okay, clarity, conciseness. What else?
Third, and this is maybe crucial for anyone staring at a blank page, rules enable creativity. Mastering the technical side, the basics, gives you a stable platform. It frees up your mental energy. You're not worrying about grammar. You're focusing on the idea itself, shaping it.
That makes a lot of sense. Freedom through structure.
Yeah.
And the last one, I think it has to be about revision, right?
Absolutely. The discipline of revision. They make it very clear. Good writing rarely just flows out perfectly. It comes from hard work, from being willing to cut one's own work ruthlessly, as they say. Revision isn't failure. It's part of the process.
Yeah, it's work. Okay, so the book's impact often comes through in these really short, memorable phrases, doesn't it? They really practice what they preach there.
They certainly do.
So let's talk about a few. The first, obviously the big one, omit needless words. Three words that say it all. Brevity is power.
That's the core manifesto, boiled down. And thinking about style and honesty, White gives us this. The approach to style is by way of plainness, simplicity, orderliness, sincerity. It's almost an ethical guideline for writers.
I also really like the food metaphor they use against showing off with fancy words. Do not overwrite. Rich, ornate prose is hard to digest, generally unwholesome and sometimes nauseating.
Yeah, that's a pretty vivid warning against just trying too hard, isn't it? And finally, maybe the one that acknowledges the sheer effort involved, writing is hard work. A clear sentence is no accident. It just blows away that myth of the effortless genius. Clarity takes deliberate effort and lots of polishing. It's so true. Okay, let's make this really practical for everyone listening. How can we apply these ideas right away in our professional lives or even just everyday communication?
Well, in business, just applying omit needless words can be revolutionary. Think about those long, rambling emails we all get, or reports. If you could cut even, say, 20% of the words, they often become twice as easy to understand and act on.
Yeah, definitely. Shows respect for people's time, too.
Exactly. Get to the point. And using the active voice, in a business setting, it creates much clearer accountability. Think about leading a team, saying, I recommend we approve this plan, is way stronger than it is recommended that the plan be approved.
Right. Shows ownership. Leadership, yeah. Really.
And for any kind of digital communication, social media, blogs, website copy, anything online that emphasis on being concise and clear is just absolutely vital. If you can't grab attention quickly and make your point clearly, people just scroll right past. Simplicity cuts through all that noise.
You know, for me, the biggest personal takeaway is maybe less about the writing itself and more about thinking. That whole process of stripping sentences down, being ruthless with your own words, it forces you to actually clarify what you think. You can't write clearly if you aren't thinking clearly first. It's like mental training.
That's a great point. What surprised me, going back to it, was realizing how much maybe I'd been conditioned to think that using complex language somehow made me sound smarter. I recently edited a proposal just sticking strictly to these principles, simplicity, directness, and it shrank, yeah, maybe by 20%, but suddenly it felt 10 times more confident.
Wow.
It really drove home that often complexity is just hiding a lack of confidence or clarity.
Yeah, that really rings true. True elegance isn't about fancy words. It's about radical simplicity. I think the most valuable lesson from this little book is that writing is fundamentally about building a bridge between minds. And the writer's main job, their responsibility, is to make that bridge as strong, clear, and direct as possible. The elements of style isn't just a grammar guide. It's really a powerful argument for integrity in how we communicate.
Couldn't have said it better myself. It holds up.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Accotra Foundation.